Ladies and gentlemen, good morning. It is Fabulous Friday, August 3rd, 2012. My name is Paul Hutchings, coming to you live from Southeast Idaho. This is the Think and Grow Rich call, and I'm fired up. Todd's fired up. Susanna's fired up. I have a feeling we have a lot of other fired up folks on this call today because it is Fabulous Fired Up Friday. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the call. Welcome to Friday. Welcome to a new day of your life where you and I have the opportunity to formulate a definite major purpose, to put together some killer plans so that we can take action, so that we can add value to ourselves and the world around us, so that we can increase in knowledge and wealth and abundance. Folks, it is an exciting life, and I do want to welcome you to the call. And you know what? Today, we're going to go through a chapter in The Science of Getting Rich that is entitled, How Riches Come to You. And don't you think that would be an important topic to study? How riches come to you? Don't you think wealth would be an important topic to study? If you want to have wealth in your life, you must make wealth a study. That's what Jim Rohn said, you know, many, many times. And isn't it surprising how many people wouldn't, you know, don't study wealth? They talk about maybe having money in their lives, but they don't make wealth a study. Well, folks, we make wealth a study on this call. By being on this call, you are a student of wealth. You're a student of the mind. You're a practitioner of the principles and the philosophies that will allow you to have riches come to you. And we're going to add to that this morning. So I do hope you're excited. We're going to jump right into this today, folks. When I say that you do not have to drive sharp bargains, I do not mean that you do not have to drive any bargains at all, or that you are above the necessity for having any dealings with your fellow men. I mean that you will not need to deal with them unfairly. You do not have to get something for nothing, but can give to every person more than you take from him. You cannot give everyone more in cash market value than you take from him, but you can give him more in use value than the cash value of the thing you take from him. The paper, ink, and other material in this book may not be worth the money you pay for it, but if the ideas suggested by it bring you thousands of dollars, you have not been wronged by those who sold it to you. They have given you a great use value for a small cash value. Let us suppose that I own a picture by one of the great artists, which in a developed society is worth thousands of dollars. I take it to Baffin Bay and by salesmanship induce a native dweller to give a bundle of furs worth $500 for it. I have really wronged him, for he has no use for the picture. It has no use value to him. It will not add to his life. But suppose I give him a gun worth $50 for his furs. Then he has made a good bargain. He has use for the gun. It will get him many more furs and much food. It will add to his life in every way. It will make him rich. When you rise from the competitive to the creative plane, you can scan your business transactions very strictly. And if you are selling any person anything which does not add more to his life than the thing he gives you in exchange, you can afford to stop it. You do not have to beat anybody in business. And if you are in a business which does beat people, get out of it at once. Give everyone more in use value than you take from him in cash value. Then you are adding to the life of the world by every business transaction. If you have people working for you, you must take from them more in cash value than you pay them in wages. But you can so organize your business that it will be filled with the principle of advancement, and so that each employee who wishes to do so may advance a little every day. You can make your business do for your employees what this book is doing for you. You can so conduct your business that it will be a sort of ladder by which every employee who will take the trouble may climb to riches himself. And given the opportunity, if he will not do so, it is not your fault. And finally, just because you are to cause the creation of your riches from formless substance which permeates all your environment, it does not follow that they are to take shape from the atmosphere and come into being before your eyes. If you want a sewing machine, for instance, I do not mean to tell you that you are to impress the thought of a sewing machine on thinking substance until the machine is formed without hands in the room where you sit or elsewhere, but if you want a sewing machine, hold the mental image of it with the most positive certainty that it is being made or is on its way to you. After once forming the thought, have the most absolute, unquestioning faith that the sewing machine is coming. Never think of it or speak of it in any other way than as being sure to arrive. Claim it as already yours. It will be brought to you by the power of the supreme intelligence acting upon the minds of men. If you live in Maine, it may be that a person will be brought from Texas or Japan to engage in some transaction which will result in your getting what you want. If so, the whole matter will be as much to that person's advantage as it is to yours. Do not forget for a moment that the thinking substance is through all, in all, communicating with all, and can influence all. The desire of thinking substance for fuller life and better living has caused the creation of all the sewing machines already made, and it can cause the creation of millions more, and will, whenever people set it in motion by desire and faith, and by acting in a certain way. You can certainly have a sewing machine in your house, and it is just as certain that you can have any other thing or things which you want and which you will use for the advancement of your own life and the lives of others. You need not hesitate about asking largely. It is your Father's pleasure to give you the kingdom, said Jesus. Original substance wants to live all that is possible in you and wants you to have all that you can use and will use for the living of the most abundant life. If you fix upon your consciousness the fact that your desire for the possession of riches is one with the desire of the supreme power for more complete expression, your faith becomes invincible. Once I saw a little boy sitting at a piano, vainly trying to bring harmony out of the keys. I saw that he was grieved and provoked by his inability to play real music. I asked him the cause of his vexation, and he answered, "I can feel the music in me, but I can't make my hands go right." The music in him was the urge of original substance containing all the possibilities of life. All that there is of music was seeking expression through the child. God, the one substance, is trying to live and do and enjoy things through humanity. He is saying, "I want hands to build wonderful structures, to play divine harmonies, to paint glorious pictures. I want feet to run my errands, eyes to see my beauties, tongues to tell mighty truths, and to sing marvelous songs," and so on. All that there is of possibility is seeking expression through people. God wants those who can play music to have pianos and every other instrument and to have the means to cultivate their talents to the fullest extent. He wants those who can appreciate beauty to be able to surround themselves with beautiful things. He wants those who can discern truth to have every opportunity to travel and observe. He wants those who can appreciate dress to be beautifully clothed, and those who can appreciate good food to be luxuriously fed. He wants all these things because it is himself that enjoys and appreciates them. They are his creation. It is God who wants to play and sing and enjoy beauty and proclaim truth and wear fine clothes and eat good foods. It is God that worketh in you to will and to do, said the Apostle Paul. The desire you feel for riches is the infinite seeking to express himself in you as he sought to find expression in the little boy at the piano. So you need not hesitate to ask largely. Your part is to focus on and express that desire to God. This is a difficult point with most people. They retain something of the old idea that poverty and self-sacrifice are pleasing to God. They look upon poverty as a part of the plan, a necessity of nature. They have the idea that God has finished his work and made all that he can make, and that the majority of people must stay poor because there is not enough to go around. They hold to so much of this erroneous thought that they feel ashamed to ask for wealth. They try not to want more than a very modest competence, just enough to make them fairly comfortable. I recall now the case of one student who was told that he must get in mind a clear picture of the thing he desired, so that the creative thought of them might be impressed on formless substance. He was a very poor man, living in a rented house and having only what he earned from day to day, and he could not grasp the fact that all wealth was his. So, after thinking the matter over, he decided that he might reasonably ask for a new rug for the floor of his best room, and a coal stove to heat the house during the cold weather. Following the instructions given in this book, he obtained these things in a few months, and then it dawned upon him that he had not asked enough. He went through the house in which he lived and planned all the improvements he would like to make in it. He mentally added a bay window here and a room there until it was complete in his mind as his ideal home. And then he planned its furnishings. Holding the whole picture in his mind, he began living in the certain way and moving toward what he wanted. And he owns the house now and is rebuilding it after the form of his mental image. And now, with still larger faith, he is going on to get greater things. It has been unto him according to his faith, and so it is with you and with all of us. And I am very excited to hear your thoughts on the chapter today. I am going to go ahead and open up the lines. Let me remind everyone on the call, please, please, please watch your time. I do not want to put a time limit on, you know, the comments, because sometimes, you know, people have really good things to share and can go a little bit long, but we do need to be cognizant. We have a lot of great people with great experience on this call, and we want to make sure that everyone has an opportunity to share so that we get the most value out of this call. So be cognizant of the time. Do your best to stay on point, and I'm excited for the discussion. Let me open up here. Star 6 to unmute your line.
Hey, Paul.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning to you. Real quickly, I just want to say that I think you kind of covered it well there, in the sense that if we each and every single one of us realize that if we look to give more than we get, we will actually end up getting more than we give. And you don't even have to keep score. You don't have to keep count. All you have to do is look for each and every opportunity that you can give to someone or make this world a better place in some way. And the more you do that, the more you're going to come out on top. Back to you, Paul.
That's a great thought. I love that quote. If we look to give more than we get, we will end up getting more than we give. Melvin Shaw, appreciate that. Star 6, who's next?
Good morning, Paul.
Good morning. Is that Mark?
Yes, this is Fired Up Mark on Fired Up Friday. This chapter was written about me. I didn't know that Dr. Waddle knew me, because I am a man from live in Maine, so I guess I'm going to have to make sure I know people from Texas. But but it is just so great to know that we have the power within us to change our destiny. We have the thought that we can put in our mind and mold it and make it into what we need and what we want, because we want it. We have a desire in our heart to obtain it. And this chapter is so great. The fact that, and of course my wife loves to sew, so the sewing machine struck home too, but it's just great. If we put our mind to it, we can do it. We can formulate what we have to, and what just to know that we can have what we want. We don't have to live poor. And the scripture also says, the poor ye shall have with you. It's because those people have not had this training. We need to get everybody on this call. Need to have everybody read this book, because and study riches, because it's with the proper mindset and the proper education and training that you'll be able to handle the riches, because to whom much is given, much is required. So back to you, Paul.
Great thoughts, my friend. I appreciate that, Mark. Thank you very much. Star 6, who's next? If you put your mind to it, you can do it. I think that was a quote from Mark. I appreciate that. Mind to it.
Hey, Paul, this is Aaron in Dallas.
Hey, good morning, Aaron.
Good morning, good morning. It's a great Friday. You know, this really is such a powerful piece that you read today. The ability to rearrange the universe to get the opportunities to get whatever it is you want, everybody has. And I'll leave you with something that I heard well over a decade ago from a dear friend of mine, Todd Young. Whether you think you can or you think you can't, you're right. Back to you.
Love those thoughts, Aaron, and thanks for coming out and sharing those. Thanks for being here. Really appreciate you. Always love hearing wisdom from Todd Young as well, so thanks for sharing that. Star 6, who's next?
Paul Todd Young.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning to everybody. Aaron, love hearing your voice, my dear friend. And we spent a lot of great times masterminding many years ago in another previous company. And it's always great to have great friends like I have here on this phone call. And great to have you here. You know, it's really amazing a lot of the mindset that was helped to have created when we were little. And, we those storybook rhymes, you know. You remember the little engine that could? You know, I think I can, I think I can. And, you know, those were so profound. And there's many, many, many things that we learned as young children in storybooks that were written by adults who knew the power of the mind. And so sometimes you can, it was really, the reason what brought this up was I was actually in a bookstore yesterday. And, I was waiting for my wife. And I happened to, just pick up some storybooks. And I was sitting there reading them and watching these words and looking at this going, wow. You know, it's really amazing that, how, this programming that happens in our mind at an early childhood that sometimes you just don't get it. And, a lot of times an adult can really learn a lot more by reading a child's book, by the simple fundamentals of how powerful the mind is. You know, universal laws, what Wallace Wattles is teaching here, are just absolute laws. They're science. They're not myths. They're not conjecture. They're absolute laws. And this mind of ours, this brain that was given to us by God, this is our gift. You know, God gave gifts to every single animal on this planet. A tiger has been given the gift of being the king of the jungle, or a lion. A skunk has its smell, its scent, its defense mechanism. Spiders know how to weave a web. And I could go on and on and on with animals. And God gave man a brain with the ability to think and transform formless substance into its physical reality. So by reading these books and studying and being on this mastermind call absolutely allows us to have the ingredients to go out and do and bake any kind of cake that we want to in our life. And it's so important that these universal laws be practiced on a daily basis, and that's why we call ourselves practitioners. So, hey, you know what? Go out and pick up a children's book, practical application. Go out and pick up this book, read it over and over and over again. This is really one of my favorite books on the planet Earth because getting wealthy truly is a science. Paul, back to you.
Wise words, Mr. Todd Young, and I love laws as well. Laws we know are applicable across culture, across socioeconomic status. They apply to anyone. And if we can just learn those laws, we can, do what we want to do and have what we want to have in life. I really appreciate those comments. Star 6, who's next?
Thank you, from Delaware.
Good morning.
Good morning, and good morning to everybody on the call. It's wonderful to know that these are laws, and as a law, just like the law of gravity, you will not be able to overcome it. If you make your mind right, if you get your mindset right, the law will show itself. The law will come into being. So it's a great thought to be able to have about the riches that are coming.
Absolutely, and thank you very much for that. Really appreciate those comments. Star 6, who's next?
Good morning, everyone. It's Doc Fran from beautiful Palm City, Florida. When I heard this paragraph this morning, it just really, really jumped out at me about the blessing that each and every one of us is to those we share our companies with. And so I want to take a couple minutes and I want to articulate that paragraph one more time. It's only a sentence long. And then kind of fill in, as you can hear, I'm actually going through the mental process. When you get an inspiration or a cognition, many times it flashes, you know it, and you internalize it. And as a result, it's difficult to re-articulate. So if you've had that experience before, that's a really cool experience because you have not forgotten it. What you've literally done is incorporated into your subconscious mind, and it's far more powerful embedded there than in your consciousness. So the phrase that I love, and it says, give every man more in use value than you take from him in cash value. Then you are adding to the life of the world by every business transaction. What a simple sentence, but what an amazingly profound and powerful concept. The reason that I got so excited is that it really drove home for me what I have observed in my career as one of the major stumbling blocks for every one of us in the successful promotion of our businesses. And that is the reluctance to share the business because we feel that there is a monetary gain to us. And so there's a little bit of a guilt factor is, you know, well, I'm asking somebody to do this because I'm building my business. When I build my business, I'm going to make more money. And so, you know, the earlier part of this is that God does not intend for us to be poor. That's setting the stage to help us change that mindset. There is nothing wrong with making money. There's nothing wrong with sharing things with people you know to make money if you have your motivation in the right place. And when you know that your business that you're offering to that person has the ability to create more in use value for that person, in other words, they have the ability to gain either from the use of the products that your company sells or the ability to earn back in commissions and bonuses more than the cost of the product that they are buying to be in your business, you're literally returning more to them in use value than in the cost to them of joining your business. So you're fully in alignment with this exchange principle that I've talked about before. And as long as you're in exchange, proper exchange, then you're going to feel balance, you're going to feel harmony, you're going to feel complete, and you're going to have successful movement towards the goal that you've set for yourself. And so we've articulated it in the form of always having in your mind the belief that you are offering more to that person for their benefit than either what their cost to obtain that benefit is going to be, and certainly offering more in use value to that person than what you will gain as commission or flow or cash or income from the transaction. And in that way, you're truly adding to the life of the world by every business transaction because we are literally expanding the realization of abundance with every person that we come into contact successfully with. Back to you, Paul.
Doc, I'm so glad that you articulated what you just did because this is one of the most powerful points in this entire chapter. And I have to just share real quick, you know, I have a family member Morgan. I have a family member who I love and respect and admire very much. And a couple of years ago, we were having a conversation, and he expressed to me the idea that in order to make money, you have to diminish somebody else's life. So, for instance, if you buy a piece of real estate and that real estate goes up in value and you mark the price up, then that's going to take money out of the other person's life. And so he kind of viewed business as, in order to succeed in business, you have to diminish from, you know, another person's life. Well, the thing that he was missing and that I was missing when I first started hearing those ideas, and that I think many of us are missing now, is this concept that Doc just articulated and further expanded upon, that Wallace Waddles gave us, that there is more value in life than just money. This use value concept, it flips on the light switch and shines light on that belief that you have to diminish from other people. And when you understand what Doc just shared, you realize that we can get fabulously wealthy financially speaking, and we can do so not by taking or diminishing, but literally by giving more life to all those with whom we interact. And that is a powerful, powerful belief to know and understand and internalize. So, Doc, thank you so much. Star 6 to unmute your line. Love to hear from you.
Hey, Bobby, this is Richard from Dallas.
Hey, good morning, Richard.
Good morning, brother. Hey, just I want to be quick. I know you want people else to talk as well, but I wanted to let everybody know what I'm doing is we actually brought a doctor onto our team who is a naturalist, and his goal was to supply Nature Burst to all of his patients. So what he was going to do is basically buy 60 to 100 canisters retail on his site and sell it to his people and sell it to his patients. But what I told him, I said, I'll tell you what, we can take this thing so much farther. Why don't we, since you're going to go ahead and buy the product and sell it, let's go ahead and bring in 60 to 100 people, pay their way in. That way you still get the product, but we can change 60 to 100 to however many people's lives, bringing them in. Once they make enough commission to pay for the product, then they can go ahead and switch the payment, and then they can start making money as well. So he actually took that into consideration, and we have recently brought that to fruition. And so far we've actually paid for about 40 people to come in, and it's life-changing. I am so much more excited about bringing people in that can't afford to come into this company and giving them the opportunity to make money and be able to make a car payment or pay their bills. And that to me has brought me so much more joy and excitement than making the actual money. So, I mean, it's awesome. So, I mean, it's life changing, and it's so much more rewarding to be able to help people, you know, give a little bit more of yourself instead of, you know, trying to take more. And it's so much more rewarding. So, I mean, it's a wonderful thing. So back to you.
I appreciate you sharing that, Richard, and very well done. Great job. Just amazing. Very creative and very, you know, good use of delivering more use value to more people. Appreciate that. Star 6, who's next? And make sure you star 6 and unmute your line once you're done speaking, if you would, please. Go ahead. Who's next?
Hello, this is Tom Caldwell from San Antonio, Texas.
Good morning, Tom.
I read this book some time ago and started putting the principles in action, and it's really what led me to finding Paul Hutchings on YouTube, and then, as they say, the everything after that is history. Thanks, Paul. I appreciate you getting me in 124.
Appreciate that, Tom. Thanks for being here. I do appreciate you. And I do want to just remind everyone, this is not a company-specific call, so if we could just keep in mind, try to refrain from using company names and product names. Just try to keep it generic if you could. Star 6, who's next?
Hey, Paul.
Yes, sir.
I just want to add to what Doc was talking or speaking on there, and I find that if we don't feel well enough about who we are and we don't believe enough in the product that we're dealing with, then there is a feeling of taking advantage of, misusing a person. And actually, in truth, we are, because we don't really think we deserve it. We have not done our homework and learned really about the product and got ourselves sold on it. And so in that sense, you are feeling guilty and you do hold back. But when we do just the opposite and we do our homework and we feel that we're really rendering something of service and good to someone else, and that we're there to back it up. So we're adding our own guarantee to it. So if there's something that goes wrong or that happens, you know, I'm here, call me, whatever support or help you need, then it makes it much easier to be able to share what you're dealing with anyone. And so it's so important that we get ourselves sold and we get our own head on right, and we can forge ahead from there. It's kind of like the person you were talking about in your family who was looking at things totally upside down. Back to you, Paul.
Really appreciate that insight, Melvin, and so very true. Our confidence in ourselves, our mindset, the skills we have, all of that increases our confidence in our ability that we can deliver value to people, and will definitely lead to incredible success. You know, Doc Fran, if you call Doc Fran, he's got a message on his voicemail that makes me laugh every time I hear it. Says something to the effect of, if you're calling to leave a rude message, feel free to do so. I hope it makes you feel better. It won't improve your station in life like I can. And it's funny, but you hear that little line, he knows that he can help people improve their lives. He says it right in his voicemail. He's got that confidence. He knows that he can deliver use value and enhance people's lives, and that's a tremendous asset to success. Star 6, who's next?
Hey, Paul, this is Todd Young. I wanted to comment on what Doc Fran and also what Melvin just said. Very, very wise words to apply in our life, and definitely take that to heart. You know, I heard somebody very wise when I was younger say, you know, I'd rather be unsuccessful at something that I believe in versus being successful that I don't believe in, because you do have this mindset of using somebody which prohibits you from going forward in life. And so when, you know, eventually being unsuccessful at something that you believe in and having that faith, you eventually will be successful in what it is that you believe in. You must have that mindset. Back to you.
Great, great point. Thank you, Todd. Star 6, who's next?
Good morning, good morning, and good morning. And how are you this morning, Mr. Hutchings?
Doing excellent. How are you, Neville?
Yes, it's been a while since I spoke to you. And the topic this morning is awesome, in the fact that when Doc came in and said about the information that we should actually give value so that we can help someone, so we can get what we have to get. And that's also quite true. But in giving value, the fact also remains that we should not try to tear down someone else to get to give the value that we're getting, or in giving the value, destroy someone else. And years ago, I had that situation. I was in sales, direct sales, and I sold natural gas products, and we're competing against oil. And yes, gas had a tremendous amount of upside in things that we're trying to do compared to oil. But in many times that we were selling, I was selling gas equipment and whatever it was, I was actually pushing to compete against the oil companies. It just took a while for me to learn that is not the objective. Do what you do because you love it, and do what you do to help those who need help, and your success will come. So that's what I believe I got from this chapter. Competition, yes, is about yourself and achieving your best. Thank you, Paul.
Really appreciate that, Neville. Be a builder, not a destroyer. Love that. Star 6, who's next?
Hello, Paul.
Hello.
Mark again. Yeah, hey, just I want to say a hearty amen to whatever's been said thus far. We are our worst enemies. So the only person that we really have to compete with is ourselves. That if we can put ourselves aside and get rid of the negative thoughts and build ourselves up with good thoughts and good great information, great thoughts and good things, and hold fast to them and embed them in our mind and in our subconscious, that and we can defeat the old self and exercise and bring out our new person, the new person within us, that those around us will notice, and it just gives us, should give us the fire to just keep improving on ourselves, so that success will come, because and once we help ourselves, then we will have the ability to help others. And this is just exactly what this chapter is talking about, and what everybody else has said, that when we can help ourselves first, that we can improve ourselves to the place that we have confidence that we can reach out and know that we can help that person, just like Doc Fran said, you know. And I appreciate his little ditty on the, or his saying on his answering machine too. I laugh too. Yeah, go ahead. It's like, you can say something bad, but it's not going to affect me. I'll bring up the analogy that we need to be ducks with oily feathers, that when somebody says something, it just kind of rolls right off our back and into the water. And then, like Lindy would say, when we take our shower, it just wash it all down the drain. So back to you, Paul.
Great comments, Mark. I really appreciate that. Love hearing from you, my friend. Star 6, who's next? Any
hey,
other thoughts? Yeah, go ahead.
This is Marty from Chicago. How's everybody today?
We're doing great, Marty. Great to hear your voice, my friend.
Great. I'm on my cell phone, so if there's any static, I apologize for that. I'm at my daughter's tournament again, so we teed off pretty early. So basically, I'm thinking to give everybody confidence that you know what you can do, you know, so you're above everybody else. There's no guilty. You don't feel bad. It all comes with knowledge. Knowledge is power. When you have the knowledge of what you're doing and you have the correct information and you can treat your mind to the correct set and say, hey, you know what? I know what I can do for people. I'm confident because of the knowledge I have. No one can hurt you. No one can creep in them older thoughts that always come up when you're not sure about yourself. If you have the knowledge, you know that no one can come and, let's say, chafe the armor. Okay, because you have a front out there, you have an aura out there. When people see that you have a lot of knowledge and you know what you're talking about, you actually become a magnet, and you start attracting those people. So, you know, educate yourself. Learn what you're doing. Have the knowledge. And believe me, everything will just all come together. Back to you, Paul.
Appreciate your thoughts, Marty. Right on target.
Wow.
Right on target. Star 6, who's next? You know, I want to touch on a concept real quick here from the chapter. Let me read this paragraph. You know, Wallace Waddle says, "Let us suppose that I own a picture by one of the great artists, which in a developed society is worth thousands of dollars. I take it to Baffin Bay and by salesmanship induce a native dweller to give a bundle of furs worth $500 for it. I have really wronged him, for he has no use for the picture. It has no use value to him. It will not add to his life. And I just want to invite everyone to think about that, you know, in relation to whatever business that we're in. One of the things that bugs me a little bit about some of the marketing that I see out there on the internet in the home business industry is it seems that some people have the idea that I need to sell at all costs. I need to do everything I can to get this person on the other end of the computer or on the other end of the phone to pull out their credit card and give me that money. And I'm going to do that with no thought or no consideration as to whether or not what I have, you know, really is going to be of use value to that person. And I think that's kind of what gives some people a bad taste in their mouth for certain types of salesmanship and certain types of marketing. And one of the things that I love about, you know, this industry this concept that Wallace Waddles is sharing with us is we don't have to do that. We don't have to sell at all costs. We don't have to, you know, push things down people's throats, even if it's not going to benefit them. Rather, we can literally find out what people's wants are, what their needs are, and if we have something that's going to help them, that's when we have a match, and that's when we can offer that. If we don't have a match, it is okay. We can move on to the next person. And I love that idea that we can become wealthy by delivering things that are going to help people to the right market, to that particular group of people that needs or wants what we have. And the other people, we don't have to worry about. We don't have to worry about, you know, influencing them or persuading them to join and give us the money. And so I just think that's a powerful concept that we should consider is, you know, what do we have? What benefits, you know, what benefits can be obtained by what we have? And, you know, who's looking for that? And seek those people out and offer it to those people. And don't try to convince, you know, the native dweller to buy the piece of artwork. You know, it's just something that we don't need to do. I think that's a powerful concept, and that's very applicable to what we do here in the home business industry. Any thoughts? Star 6, who's next?
Hi, Paul.
This is
Usha from Dallas.
Usha, good morning.
Good morning. I hope you're not hearing too much of static today.
Sounds a little bit better today.
I was refraining from making any comment because of my headset. I said I better get a good quality headset before I speak again, but I could not resist. So what the point you made is very, very good, and not to trust something that people don't need on them. But by the same token, I think it's written in the Bhagavad Gita that, you know, it's the equivalent of your Bible, and that when you give somebody, make sure that they deserve it and give it at the appropriate time. And so that is also important, to give it to the right person. And that said, I would say, you know, marketing is all about creating a fear of something. You know, they try to create a lack or a want, you know, and they'll say, if you don't have this, this is what could happen. So it's very tricky. And also when some people need it, they don't even realize that they need it because they have that mentality of lack and think that they cannot afford it. So, I mean, it's all part of the game, I guess. Just wanted to make the point that when you give, you should give appropriate thought to whether they deserve it and whether it is the appropriate time and whether it is of value to them. Thank you.
Great thoughts, Usha. So glad that you came out. And yes, we can hear you clearly, so thank you for that. Whatever you did, it worked. Appreciate that.
Okay, thank you.
Star 6, who's next?
Hi, Paul Neville. Sorry to come back in that quickly. But something you just mentioned here is what was why it started out in the beginning of this book with. He says, it's saying you got to speak truth Because if you don't speak truth, you lose the harmony with which you are, and you lose harmony with the universe. Once you lose harmony with the universe, you're going to lose even the things that you're already benefiting from. So even though you're given value with the painting, it's not a value that's usable to the hunter. So, yes, that is correct. I love what you just read there. So honesty and integrity in what you do at all times must be there. Without that, a high ethics, you will not only rob the other person, but also rob yourself of the blessing that you're about to receive. Thank you, Paul.
Thank you, Neville. Appreciate those thoughts. I'll just address the elephant in the room here that I'm thinking about, you know, when we talk about this topic. In the network marketing industry, we have network marketing, how traditionally network marketing businesses have been built, and then we have the internet that comes out, and you know, the internet's a tool that we can use to build a network marketing business. Well, one of the things that I think that gives people a bad taste is where internet marketing systems might be sold or attempt to be sold to someone who has no interest in using the internet to build their network marketing business. You know, maybe somebody, there's lots of great networkers out there that are really good at doing it the way that it's been done. And then we have internet marketers out there trying to shove something down their throat. And it's not a use value. It's not a good use value. That's one example. Another example is, you know, kind of along the lines of what Neville was talking about earlier, be a builder, not a destroyer. In order to sell some of this stuff out there on the internet, lots of people destroy in the attempt. You know, you see all kinds of messages out there like, is your upline stuck in the 1950s or 60s, or is your sponsor lying to you? You know, is this and that? I mean, they're tearing down, saying certain activities are stupid, and, you know, why would you waste your time doing some of these things? They're tearing down in order to sell. And there's just no need for that, I don't think. You know, learning this philosophy, we can deliver the right thing to the right market, to the people that are going to need it, use it, want it, benefit by it. And we can do it by building rather than by tearing down. And this message, I think, is just really something that that our industry needs. It needs to understand, needs to endeavor to apply. So I'm grateful for it. I'm having some really good insights this morning. Star 6, anyone else? Any other comments? Anything else that stands out this morning to you?
Hey, Paul?
Yes.
Yeah, this is Marty again. Just a quick comment on what you said. You know, when I talk to a lot of people, a lot of prospects, the first thing they say is, I don't want to talk to family or friends. Well, that's because they click, and it's right on your point. When they were first starting out, they probably shoved everything down their throat because, hey, I'm starting out, you got to do this. And, you know, and they didn't want to deal with, that's why a lot of people say, I don't want to deal with family, friends, I only have a warm market. Because they probably did that already, but they burned their bridges, and they didn't have anything of value to offer at the time because they didn't know how to offer it. So I just want to make a quick comment. Great insight, Paul. Back to you.
Thank you, Marty. Appreciate that. Yep, great insight from you. Thank you. Star 6, who's next?
Hey, Paul.
Ooh. Yeah.
Good morning, my friends. Paul, Mr. Hutchins, how are you?
Hey, doing good, Rick. Melvin beat you right to the just by a split second. Melvin, you want to go first? You want to let Rick go?
No, just go ahead. Let Rick go.
Okay, go ahead, Rick.
Well, thank you, Melvin, for yielding. My friends, it's a very interesting business we're in. Business of people helping people to help themselves. You know, it come back to intentions again. It's an incredible thing. Intentions. What are your intentions? It is so important. You know, a lot of people get into network marketing business because they're desperate. Let's face it. They are fed up of working for somebody else. it's the only business pretty much where you can get in with for pennies. It doesn't matter that you just got out of jail. It doesn't matter what your skin level is, your background, your creed, color, whatever. It's incredible. It's the business of the blind leading the blind. How many business you know that people get in the business and they send them out in the field right away without any training whatsoever. Just get in. Go tell your family about this exciting business. Go ahead. Some people never heard the concept about this business. When you hear the concept of people helping people, multiplying your efforts, compounding your time, people are like, wow, light bulbs go off. But nobody tells them this business takes a lot of patience, a lot of skill. More skills, you will have to work harder in this business than you've done in your entire life. Nobody comes out and tell anybody that. I've never seen it in my time looking around. And I never heard anybody talking about this. Intentions, there are hidden agendas, hidden intentions, lies, flat out lies, if you ask me sometime. Really? Because if you're not telling the whole truth, you're basically lying. Really? It's pretty much, that's what it is. There is a, I think, there's a gentleman named Jim Gilhouse, and this guy over in Block Talk Radio, this guy has a lot of knowledge. He interviews a lot of people in business. I think there was something coming up about Herbalife. I think it was Herbalife, yes, and the public, and they're getting ready to short the stock in the stock market. And they're also getting ready to say network marketing. You don't speak bad about network marketing. But obviously at this point, it's a deliberate move to destroy. And so people can get in and do their puts or whatever it is and the game people play. When it comes to money, my friend, there is most of the time the integrity of people, there's a little bit of hidden thing around there. That's why most people are always skeptical. And sometimes people just go in really blind, and they don't tell you the truth either. So, listen, you just have to really be an astute person. Develop yourself. That's why we get into personal development. Develop these lenses so you can see through these things, weed it out. And people are not number. There are people, lives out there. Do unto others as you'll have them do unto you. Service to many, Paul, remember this, leads to greatness. Right back to you, Mr. Paul Hutchins. What a wonderful day, and thank you for putting on this call. Paul, Mr. Hutchins, back to you. Can you hear me?
I'm not sure if we lost Paul there. Rick?
I'm back. Go ahead, Melvin. Sorry about that, guys. Little technical issue. Go ahead, Melvin.
Oh.
Great thoughts, Rick. Great thoughts. Thank you. Melvin, go ahead.
Actually, what Rick said is a lot of what I was going to say. I have a lot of people coming to me at times sharing a program to me, and they have no knowledge about it. I ask them questions. They can't answer my questions. And it just makes me realize, you know, how many people out here are just being greedy. You know, how quick can I run over here and grab you or get you in or whatever the case might be and make me some money, and I haven't even taken the time to find out what I got, but I want to be the first one to get to you. And it's kind of like what Rick was just saying. They have not done their homework, neither on themselves or learning about their product. And they're doing both themselves and others a disservice. So, you really need to work on yourself, which is the major part of your business. And then secondly, know what you're talking about. Back to you, Paul.
Excellent advice from a veteran, successful network marketer, folks. I hope we're all paying attention. Really, really good wisdom here. Star 6, who's next? We do have a few minutes left. Great discussion.
Suzanne.
Loving it. Hey, Suzanne. Good morning.
Good morning. I have something that I feel very strongly about that I want to add, and I will try to be delicate because I do feel so passionate about it. I heard these comments about network marketers that tear down others. And yes, it kind of infuriates me, but it also just shows me who they are. People cannot help but show you who they are. So it's not who they're pointing at. They're telling you something about themselves. If they think that there's not 3 million clicks on the internet, people wanting to start a home business, if they think they're going to grab 5 or 10 from you, how small-minded and pitiful is that really? So that's the first thing, is that, you know, anytime you see somebody tearing down others or getting all riled up about competition, what they're showing you is that they don't even understand the universe, and they're also telling you that they think they're inferior to you, or else they wouldn't fear being in competition with you if there were competition. So it's some kind of self-deprecating compliment that they're giving you when they actually try to tear you down. That's the first thing. The second thing is, and it kind of irks me just as much, or I guess I should say I choose not to resonate with it, and that is all this new mumbo-jumbo on the internet that says, be free from the man and don't have to work. You don't have to build relationships. You can just pick numbers off the internet. You don't have to form relationships. You don't have to take care of people, inspire people. You don't have to help them through their problems. You don't want to be on the phone all day. You want to just be getting drunk on some beach somewhere. I don't agree with that. And I do believe that the quality of what you build will have very much to do with how strong it is, how long it endures, and how well you prosper through the years. And I don't care how exciting something looks for a moment, if it doesn't have a firm foundation and if it is not something that people can believe in long term, it is quick money, false money, and nothing that you can fall asleep at night having a peace of mind building your future upon. Back to you, Paul.
Suzanne, I love those thoughts. Very wise. I'm going to have to listen to the replay to understand some of what you said, where you talked about how they're giving you a self-deprecating compliment. And so that really was profound, and I think there was a lot there. I need to re-listen to that. I so appreciate you, Suzanne. Thank you for being here. Love
Thanks.
Those comments. Love those comments. Star 6, who's next? It's a fascinating business environment we are in, my friends, isn't it? So interesting. Anyone else? And that's okay. We can go ahead and close out the call. Last chance. I'll give you a few seconds. Sorry about that. Who did I cut off? Star 6 to unmute your line. I heard someone jumping out there. Who was that?
Yeah, Paul, it's Mark again.
Yeah, go ahead, Mark.
This call has been so educational. I agree with you. I think I'm going to have to listen to it again because there's been so much given. And it is true that we need to renew our minds. We need to re-educate ourselves in a new way of something that's been around for ages, and that is to reach out and help other people. So back to you.
Great, great, great comment there, Mark. I agree. A very profound call. There has been some truth, some real truth, foundational stuff that we can build a very long-term, successful, sustainable business on, folks. And that's, you know, that's what we're here to do. We're here to build long-term, sustainable businesses. And I just want to read the last line in the self-confidence formula from Dr. Napoleon Hill that we all should be reading at least twice a day, if not more. It's the fifth line, and it says, I fully realize that no wealth or position can long endure unless built upon truth and justice. Therefore, I will engage in no transaction which does not benefit all whom it affects. Folks, isn't that what we're talking about today? Very, very profound. It's interesting how, you know, when there are really good foundational truths, it seems that there are, you know, more witnesses to the truth. And here we have Wallace Wattles bearing testimony to us, as well as Dr. Napoleon Hill sharing his knowledge and testimony as to what we're covering today. So that being said, my friends, let's get out there. Let's endeavor to deliver more use value than we extract in monetary value from the people that we do business with. Let us grow ourselves, and let us get out there and have a wonderful day. Have faith, take action, move forward towards your major definite purpose. Do not give up, plow through temporary setback. Understand that persistence is another word for faith. And my friends, it's a beautiful life. Have a great weekend, and we'll see you back here Monday morning on the Think and Grow Rich call. Thank you for being who you are. Take care.